bring ourselves to the Lord. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, you're absolutely lovely, wonderfully tender. Your faithfulness, Lord, is unchanging. You don't ebb or flow. There are no tides in you. There is no shadow of turning. And out of the constancy of your heart you work. We thank you that you are here, present to every one of us. Lord, that you're not far off. Lord, but you're present to your church. Lord, though some of us know it not, Lord, you seem to be far, yet you are near, nearer than our own breath. Lord, we thank you that you are at work in your church and she's beautiful in your sight. Lord, that you don't forsake her, you don't let her go. Lord, but you are perfecting her, that you're present to her and working in her all over the earth, Lord. In the nations, you're at work. Lord, you're calling people unto yourself. You're building your church. You're present, Lord, in the palaces and the government buildings of the world, though people know it not. You're present to your creation. You're near. Lord, nothing goes on without your hand of control, limiting it, Lord, limiting the very wickedness of the enemy. Lord, you have put him in bounds and limits. And Lord, we praise you that our breath is in your hand. Lord, you gave us life, and in the time appointed you decree that our days here shall end, but not our life. Lord, we go on. Lord, and we bless you. We just call upon you that you will open the eyes of our hearts this evening, Lord, and minister of your own dear self to us. Lord, we confess we need you. We know that when we look at ourselves, we're worms and nothing. Lord, we know something of the power, the dreadful power of sin and wickedness of which we've all partaken. And we all also know something of your presence, your power, your deliverance, Lord. And Lord, we praise you. We praise you. Oh, forsake us not, dear Lord, we cry. And then the echo is in our hearts that you will not forsake us, but will perfect that which concerns us. Hallelujah. We praise you. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in Romans, and painting a large picture, aren't we? Trying to do in 3 nights something that's not really possible, and next week another subject, and then the following week, God willing, and so on. But Romans on the gospel, and I want to go a little deeper this evening, just pulling out scriptures from various parts of Romans and seeking to tie them together. If you can recall, last night I asked you that if you would meditate and ponder a little bit on what is the glory of God. What is it? What is the glory of God? Now, you know that chapter 3, all right, chapter 3 of Romans tells us something very powerful about the glory of God. And it says this, verse 23, a well-known verse. All have sinned, and my version says, fall short of the glory of God. Is the glory of God a place? that you come short of it? Is the glory of God somewhere? Is it to do with heaven? When he says that sin has caused man to come short of the glory of God, what does that say to you? What is this glory of God? There's something in that verse there that suggests straight away to you that you are to participate somehow in the glory of God. And it also suggests something like this to me, and I hope to you, that the original man, Adam, and his wife were partaking in the glory of God. They were participating in the glory that belongs to God only. Do you think angels are glorious? Do they have a peculiar and a particular glory? Definitely. Definitely. How many of you love trees? Now, where was I the other day? Somewhere I was driving along with somebody. They were driving me. Yes, it was a lady. And I said to her, "Look at those trees. Aren't they glorious?" There was an avenue of trees in somewhere up there in the Klang Valley. I don't remember, but it just was beautiful. They were glorious. Have you read verses in your Old Testament that talks about let the trees of the field clap their hands? Have you heard that? Do you know there's a particular tree in the Middle East, and you can find it, I doubt if you'll find any of them here, they're called cedars of Lebanon. Cedars of Lebanon. You've all heard of the country Lebanon? Yes. Well, on the Lebanese flag, there's a picture of the cedar of Lebanon. And on their airline, too. It's one of their logo of their airline. But the cedar of Lebanon is a massive tree. They're glorious. And the branches come out horizontally like this, kind of like opposite one another, and they're like big hands. And you can imagine them coming out, and then there's another two come out like this, and then more come out like this, and more come out like this. And when the wind blows, these branches go like this. Let the trees of the field clap their hands. When the glorious, you see. There's a glory that belongs to trees. There's a glory that belongs to... Do you think there's a glory that belongs to whales? The most large of the mammals, aren't they? A whale? Great, great thing. Hallelujah. You know, when God created... Do you know why he created whales? Anyone know? The Bible will tell you. You've got to read your Bible, you see. Your Bible will tell you he created them. Great things in the sea to play there. That's what your Bible says. That he created them to play there. Now, I used to live in Perth, Australia. And a message would come out sometimes to us in Perth, the whales have come. And there was a time of the year where the whales would come off the shore in Perth and you could see them play. You know, you've seen the pictures, haven't you? Up And, and even the scientists, they don't know, why do the whales do this and that and the other, these great big creatures, you see? They're glorious. And I could go through all the creation like this. And you see, everything has a glory. God, you know that God is the creator, isn't he? Amen? He's the creator. And he, when he created, he imparted to everything its peculiar glory. Amen. And when he created man, I was thinking of this as I was driving here this evening. You know, I was just thinking, oh God, how special man is to you. How did he create the cows and the trees, and how did he do it? Your Bible tells you, chapter 1 of Genesis, he just spoke. Let the earth bring forth. Let these fish teem in the waters. That's the sort of, that's what he did, just spoke. But when he formed man, did he speak? He said, let us make man. And then what did he do? It says, he formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Is that right? Unique, the way God made man. He just called these other things into being. But when it comes to the making of man, how many blades of grass did he make? Anyone know? I don't. Innumerable. How many cows did he make? I don't know. Many. How many whales did he make? I don't know. Many. When he made man, how many did he make? One. And from that one, he made a help, meet for him. Is that right? And she's woman. Hallelujah. You see, and I want you all to know this, that just as God gave to each creature its glory, so he gave to man glory. And that glory is related to his own glory, to God's own glory. Do you understand me? You understand? That when God created man, he created man all glorious, sharing in the glory of God. But what is the glory of God? Because once we begin to get some clue of what the glory of God is, then we'll begin to grasp the condition of man, the state of man, what man was enjoying, and what he fell from, what he come short of, what Jesus has come to redeem us back into. You got me? You see, you must never, you don't believe in evolution between, do you? You don't believe that you were a bit of slime billions of years ago, or millions of years ago, a bit of slime that just happened to come out of the sea, you know, and it just happened and all that. You don't believe that, do you? Hallelujah. You know, sin has wrecked us. But in the beginning, man was sharing the glory of God. Now, if I just stay in Romans, all right? I mean, you understand that you've got to know who you're dealing with when you come to church. Of course, no one really comes to church. I mean, you don't visit church. You can come and have a look at church, but God wants to make you part of the church. Church is God's community. You understand that? God's community. Amen. And he doesn't want you all understand you can't join the church. You can't join it. You have to be joined to it. You have to be brought into it. You have to be born into it. You have to be generated by the Heavenly Father into God's church. But you've got to begin to understand that God introduces himself, God reveals himself, God declares himself, he declares his glory. Now, how many of you can remember a man in the Old Testament? And this man was doing God's errands. He was a servant in God's house. And he had a very important service to perform. He was 80 years old. All right, he was 80 years old at the time when he was called into this service. Now, you're getting a clue of who I'm talking about. He was 80 years old. And he was called into the service of God because God said to him, "Now, I want to bring these people out of Egypt, my people, I want to redeem them. They're filthy, rejected slaves serving the God of this world. I want Pharaoh. I want to bring them out. Now you go back. You go there. You lead them out." And Moses did. You know, does everybody know what Moses said to God? "Well, if I go, who shall I say sent me?" See, you've got to know. I've got to know who sent me to you tonight. I'm not representing myself. When you talk to people who know not God, you've got to know who you're talking about, who sent you. And Moses said, I daren't go back there unless I know who's sending me. "What's your name? Who shall I say?" Now you tell me. You can read this in Exodus chapter 3. God said, "You tell them that I am that I am has sent you." I am that I am. What kind of name is that? Well, here's a part of it. Here's this lovely little one here. She's becoming. Right? You're becoming, aren't you? How many of you are becoming old? Oh, forget about age now. What about in your nature and your character? Some of you wives, tell me about your husbands, will you? Has he got better with the years? In his nature and character? Is he more kind to you? You know what I'm talking about? You're changing. That's what I'm talking about. God said, "You tell them, I am that I am." Are you understanding what we're talking about? I am that I am. I don't need any improvement. I am that I am. I always will be. I am that I am. You tell them that I've sent you. Well, he went, told them, God was faithful, brought them out. You all know the story. Through the Red Sea, all that. It was dramatic. It was powerful. And then maybe you know that God called Moses up to the mountain. And while he was up the mountain, and God was giving his wonderful law for the people, to Moses, the people down below, they manufactured their own God. Made him out of gold. And it was vile what they did. It was immoral. It was wicked. It was sin. And they were falling short again of the glory of God. Manufacturing their own God. And God came and God was going to wipe them out. And God said to Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. They've rebelled against me. They've manufactured their own God. And Moses said, oh, don't do that. What about your name, Lord? What about your name? God said, I'll make of you a new nation. And Moses said, no, I don't want that. What about your name? You're the I Am. What about your name? You're the faithful one that changes not. The other nations will say, he couldn't do it. He's not faithful. He's not true. You get me? And that's how Moses interceded with God. And God said, all right, Moses, I've listened to you. I'll bring them further on. I'll bring them into the land. I won't destroy them. Now, Moses, lead them up to the land of my promise. And Moses said, I don't think I can, unless you do something for me. Do you know what? Do you know what Moses said to God? Come on, we better look at it. It's in Exodus. In Exodus. Is it in Exodus? Can you find it? Hallelujah. Chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Verse 18. This is what Moses said to God. I can't take them up unless you do something for me. Verse 18, Exodus 33. Moses said, please, show me, what does it say? Your glory. I need to see your glory. Amen? See, we're on this theme of glory. A man, if he's going to be the servant of the Lord and walk on, he needs to see the glory of God. Well, this is what God said to him. Verse 19. Now this is beginning to define what God's glory is. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious. Now all this is his glory. God is defining for you what his glory is. Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God says, all right, it starts with my goodness. My glory is my goodness. Do you want to see a little bit more of what God's glory is? Yes? Go into chapter 34. Because here's the Lord, verse 6, passed before Moses. Chapter 34, verse 6. And the Lord proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head to the earth and worshipped. Now, there is God's self-disclosure of his glory. The glory is what he is. The glory are these qualities of his being. These are the things of his nature, his righteousness, his goodness, his steadfastness, his faithfulness. Anyone here who is faithful through and through? In the room? Anyone here who has been steadfast? Anyone here who has steadfast love? Well, I want you to know this. You see, Adam shared the glory of God when God created him. God created him righteous. God created him in love. God created him and he was sharing the glory of God. That's part of what it means when it talks about man was made in God's image. I talked about the cedars of Lebanon. They don't share that glory. They share the glory of a tree of a particular kind. A whale shares the glory of what it means to be a whale. But when it comes to man, man is unique in all the creation of God. And hallelujah, sharing in the glory of God. And when man sinned, Romans 3:23, he came short of the glory of God. He fell. His nature no longer was partaking in that righteousness. For when God created him, he was righteous, he was pure, he was loving. Adam was loving. Do you understand that? And if I can put it this way, these conditions are the native conditions of man. That is what man was made to be, steadfast, immovable, like a rock, like God, dwelling in love, dwelling in righteousness, holy, pure, merciful, gracious. Hallelujah. That's what man, that's native to human nature as God made it. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to go back into Romans. You see, because sin came in. But I want you to look in Romans chapter 11 at a verse most of you will know, but will never have heard interpreted this way before. Now remember all I've said about God making man. In this glory, sharing this glory. What could be more glorious? I mean, some of you women, some of you wives, am I right in saying that to some of you, your husband's faithfulness, his care, his shepherding of your life, his love has been glorious to you? Is that right? I see one or two nodding. And that the service of a wife to her husband, her loving service, her self-givenness to him, she becomes a glory to him. Am I making sense? Get some the faithfulness of the union of marriage. It's a glory. Come on, tell me. Just think for a minute. How many of you occasionally get to know something about the movies and the constant repetition of sex in the movies? They can hardly make a movie nowadays without having some sex scene in it. Maybe screened out somewhat in Malaysia yet. But certainly not in Canada, certainly not in the United States, certainly not in Europe and England and so on. And tell me, is there any glory in that unfaithfulness? In that naked sexuality? Is there any glory in it? It's pitiful, isn't it? You know, when you hear about men having affairs, when you hear about divorces and broken marriages and, you know, the love triangle, as they say it, is there any glory in it? Is there any glory in that love, that so-called love? Of course not. Man has come short of the glory of God. But the gospel, beloved, is God's news that He is what He is. I am what I am. I'm faithful. I'm sure. I do not change. When my word comes out of my mouth, it is dynamic. It needs no adaptation. It stands. When I said, let us make man in our image, that word stands. Amen. Now, look at Romans 11. At the end of Romans, you'll see something there. In the 29th verse is where I want us to look. It tells you something, hallelujah, and you will never have heard it interpreted this way. You will have heard it talked in lesser ways. But I want you to remember all I've said about man made in the glory of God and sharing it in the beginning. And that the calling of man and the gifts that God gave to man and this glorious calling of man. What does that verse say? Romans 11, 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Hallelujah. Oh, what did He give man? His glory. What did He call man to? Fellowship with Himself. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, my version says. Hallelujah. This is our God. The gifts. Tell me some of the gifts. Come on, let's rack them up. Here's some of the gifts He gave to Adam. Righteousness. Holiness. Love. Wisdom, understanding, kindness, goodness, mercy. Those are the gifts, and many, many more that He gave to man. Hallelujah. And here's the calling, the vocation upon man. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Be a wonderful prince and king. Be a kingdom of priests that worship. All right? You linking it up in your mind? Here's the calling of God. Now forget about whether it's apostles, prophets, evangelists. He's not talking about any of that. He's talking about the calling that's common to man. to share with God in His community of life, to have dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply. That is man's vocation, his calling, not callings. You all notice this? Gifts, plural, calling, singular. Amen. And glory to God, when He made Adam and when He made Eve, they were living in the gifts and the calling until sin came in. They were living in the gifts and the calling. They were sharing the glory of God. They were sharing in these qualities of God's being. Some theologians call them God's attributes, the things that belong to His being. And these things belong to the being of man. And they are what man is not man unless he's living in those things. That's the thing that you want to understand. President Clinton, ex-President Clinton, is not a man. He's short of a man. Do you understand? Like we all are. Do you understand? That's what sin's done. He may want to be. Ex-President Clinton may want to be a man. In fact, I'm sure he wants to be a man. You want to be a man. You want to be properly human. And there are times when you may strive to it. But you need a redeemer. I need a redeemer. I need a savior. I need someone to restore me into my proper being, where I live in the gifts and the callings of God. Amen. Now that's what Romans is all about. It's all about the restoration of man into the gifts and the callings. It's all about how God did it. It's all about His faithfulness. It's all about the fact that He would never neglect or forget or forsake His creation, and in particular man. Hallelujah. This is your God. This is our God. This is the God of the church, beloved. This is our God. A God who's faithful, unswervingly so. Now, when we read back there in Exodus, as God was declaring His name to Moses, as Moses there, and he was listening and he was watching and he bowed his head and he worshipped, did you notice that it said that part of God's name is, I do not clear the guilty? Did you notice that? That part of His name is that He doesn't sweep things under the carpet, that rebellion and treason against Him has to be dealt with, that it's part of His being. Mercy and judgment. Yes? Oh, I tell you. See where man has fallen from, beloved. This glorious condition. Oh dear, don't you ache for it? I was writing some emails yesterday and I wrote to someone, you know, and I said something like how, you know, they were saying that they were thinking of us and praying for us and they missed us and, you know, that we were joined together and so on. And I emailed back and said, oh, what will it be in the glory? When there'll be no separation between us. When we'll all be one together. Wouldn't it be incredible? When we'll be in the perfection, in the glory of God and sharing it. Isn't that something to go after? Amen. If you haven't got an inclination for it, beloved, you'll never have it. The first thing God has to do for you is to begin to put in you a desire to be an authentic human being. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has to put that desire in you. So you say, I want to be what God made me to be. Hallelujah. I want to partake in that glory of His nature. I want to share in that faithfulness. I want to be in that love. I want to share in the law of His being. Isn't it terrible? Go into Romans 1 and start to look here at the way man fell. Look what he did. I'll just pull out this one thing. Verse 21, Romans 1, 21, it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, or give thanks to Him, but they became, my version says, futile, as they say in Canada, futile or vain in their imaginations. Oh dear, Hollywood, vain in its imagination. Even its most philosophical, films where it's trying to teach you a truth. How many of you realize that Hollywood in the main is a great big propaganda machine? That's what it is. Anybody know what won the most Oscars this year? What movie? Anyone know? It's a movie. It stars Clint Eastwood. Anyone know the name of it? It's about a lady boxer. A girl, boxing. Sport. Do you know the whole purpose of the movie? It's in the last 10 minutes. The whole purpose of it is a propaganda exercise to condition people's hearts to euthanasia. That it's justifiable to kill someone with a needle. It's a propaganda exercise. That's the whole purpose of it. And it won the most Oscars. You see, vain in their imaginations. The vanity. Do you understand that some of you here may be giving your life to the idol of face? You know, it's one of the big problems in Asia. Face. Success. It's one of the curses of the churches in Asia. Which one is most successful in Singapore? The one with 17,000 members. Who says? What does God say about that church? He could go, and it wouldn't be there next week. Oh yes, be careful about this. Don't be enslaved to the craze, the trend, the drive for success. Oh, it happens to me. Oh, what church do you come from? Well, I said, I'm not the pastor of a church. I'm based in a church. My official position is associate pastor. And I'm free to travel. And I spend 6 months of the year away from the church. And when we're home, we just help in the little church there. And how many are in the church? And so you go up in people's estimation or down in their estimation. Am I making sense? We're so enslaved, you see. And there may be some here that are in this world of Malaccan life, and you are giving yourself to the making of money. And I know that when I'm in Toronto, Canada, and I'm driving in a certain area quite near us, which is mainly Asians, if I see a BMW or a Mercedes, I don't have to look to see whether they've got black hair. There are very few, Asians with greying hair. All right? I don't have to look. Because the only people in Toronto who drive Mercedes and BMWs that by Canadian standards are extremely expensive to own and look after will be Asians. As a sign of face and status, we've arrived. You know, and if you've got 888, that's even better. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But the bottom line, beloved, is that it's vain. It's vain. They became vain in their imaginations. When they knew God, they glorified Him, not as God. Do you notice the word glorified Him? And of course, when they cease to glorify the nature and the character of God, then they lost their own being. They lost their own glory. And instead of their own glory, that glory that rightly belongs to man, in the place of it, there's vanity in their minds and their imaginations. And their foolish hearts become darkened. There's a process that goes on, you see. The rejection of the wonder and the glory of God. This is the state into which man has fallen, come short. Isn't it a tragedy? What's the church all about? The church is all about declaring God's gospel of redemption in Jesus Christ. We'll talk about it very clearly tomorrow night. How He's done it. How He's satisfied His own justice in the death of His Son. How He has not cleared the guilty, but He has slain the guilty and the guilt in His Son. We'll talk about it. Where He has manifested His righteousness, His faithfulness. Am I right in saying that Romans chapter 1, verse, what is it? Verse 17. Paul says in verse 16, Romans 1, 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. God making everything right. The gospel reveals how God made everything right. Beloved, it's all wrong when you think of man fallen. When you think of man, his foolish heart darkened, vain in his imaginations, futile. Go on, you tell me, is it futile? Did Jesus tell a story about a rich man who had fields and he did really well one year and he said, I'll build barns and I'll fill them up, and he did ever so well and he gave himself to those things. Wasn't it futile? And God said to him, this night, your soul is required of you. Your soul, you see. The gospel is that vehicle through which the righteousness of God is revealed. It's a wonderful thing. Go back in this chapter and look here, verse 22. This is man in his states of decline as he comes short, claiming to be wise. They became fools. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You know, they forsook the wisdom that was given to them in the creation, that they were to share. Anybody tell me the beginning of wisdom? Oh yes. Adam feared God, not with a terrible fear. Fear, the fear of the Lord. He knew that the Lord was different unto him. But he also knew that he loved God, and God loved him. This is the states into which, from which Adam fell, you see. He had the fear, the right fear of the Lord, and it was unto him wisdom. And then, he listened, she listened, and unbelief was sowed into their hearts. Awful. Amazing. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and exchanged what? The glory of the immortal God. They exchanged the glory. There's our subject for tonight, our dominant theme for tonight. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God. They no longer thought of him, spoke of him, enjoyed him. They exchanged. There was a deliberate exchange for what? An image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Can you see those four things? An image made like unto, one, corruptible man, two, birds, three, four-footed beasts. Finally, number four, creeping things. Man, corruptible man. And then going down to birds. At least they fly in the heavens. Four-footed beasts. Are you noticing? Four-footed beasts. Four-footed. Not upright. I hope you're noticing. Not upright. You read your Bible and it tells you that God made man upright. But he sought out many inventions. God made him upright. Hallelujah. Seen a chimpanzee? Oh, you say, but they go around on 2 feet. No, not quite. Or the orangutan? You know what we're talking about, don't you? Four-footed beasts. And get lower yet. What's the bottom of the list? Creeping things. This is the falling short of man. You see what he's... And exchanging. Think what man has done. Exchanged. The glory of God. Oh, Lord. It's heartbreaking. And this goes on even in your own life. And moments of challenge, doesn't it? You know that when temptation comes to you, it's something like that. It's the temptation to an exchange. It's the temptation, even as someone who's in God's church and knows God, when temptation comes, it's temptation to reject God, exchange his beauty, his glory, and all that he is, his faithfulness, his goodness, and to exchange it for what? The corruptible things. See, this is where we're living, beloved. This is we're right on it here in this gospel. You see, man's depravity is not total. You know, man is depraved, but not totally. He can become totally depraved. Do you think that Hitler, Adolf Hitler, that his depravity that he was born with, that he gave himself over to it, he gave himself over to hatred, He gave himself over to bitterness. He gave himself over to jealousy. He gave himself over to the rejection of God. He didn't want to know about the God of the Jews. He didn't want to know about God at all. That he began to talk about folk religions in Germany. He began to relate to mediums and people like that. That's what he did. It was a steady depravity. From the depraved state, he came to a place where possibly by the time that he shot himself in his bunker, in, was it May 1945, when he shot himself, he was totally depraved. He exchanged, you see. This is the thing we've got to understand. Oh, and yet God has not forgotten his promise. Yet God's gifts and callings are without repentance. Amen. The gospel is the reaffirmation by God in Jesus Christ and his death. It is the reaffirmation of God's determination and God's will, God's word. I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. And you go down through this chapter 1. And then you make your way into chapter 2. And you come to something like this, that even as man is rejecting God and turning away from him, look at, just in passing, look at verse 28 of chapter 1. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind. Or debased mind, to do what ought not to be done. They were, what's the next word? My version says, verse 29, it says, they were filled. That one says, being filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. I just want you to see the exchange, where it leads to. As man gives himself up to not acknowledging God, God moves to a place where God gives man up. All right? If that's what you want, he gives man up to it. And as he gives them up to it, that's part of his judgments upon them. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper, and look what they're filled with. The exact opposite of what they were sharing in the glory of God in the creation. Is that right? In the glory of the creation, they were filled with righteousness. They were sharing the glory of God. They were in faithfulness. Adam and Eve were in faithfulness, not fornication. Now man becomes filled with everything that's the opposite. Now they're filled with wickedness, not goodness. I hope it's becoming clear to you. This is what Romans is all about, beloved. This is what everything is structured upon. Covetousness. Covetousness is I want, I must have, I'll have that. It's the opposite of freely giving. Adam and Eve were sharing in the glory of God, and part of the glory of God is he freely gives. Man's filled with its opposite. Maliciousness. Not kindness. Maliciousness. That's what man's full of envy. Think of it. When Adam was made, you mustn't think there was an atom of suspicion in his heart at God, or an atom of suspicion in his heart about woman. There was no suspicion in her heart about him. There was no envy. Nothing like that. Only just, they adored one another. And that's what happened. Envy. Murder. You know, and you can go on. That's what man became full of. Now, I don't want to finish on this note tonight. I want to go on through, because all the time this is happening. All the time. This is happening in the nations and the people. Has God left? Has God forsaken his purpose? Is God far away? And I say to you, no. How do I know? Go into chapter 2 and I'll find what God is doing all the time that man is in this debased and fallen state. And I tell you, he's near to every one of us in the room and always has been. This is what it says. Verse 4, chapter 2. Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Where's God all the time? There he is. He's in his goodness. He's in his forbearance. He's in his patience. And in that goodness, he's wanting to bring men to repentance. That's God's heart, you see. Unchanging. And even when... Has God been patient? Has he been patient with mankind? How many world wars were there last century? Two. The greed of man. Was God patient? Is God patient with America today? The United States of America? God's patient. I have so much. They've known so much truth. It's one thing to have not known. It's another thing to have known and then turn. Greater judgment. Greater judgment. Is he being patient? Is he being long-suffering? Or bring it down to your personal life. The personal life of people. God is, his whole attitude toward them is goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, and he's wanting to bring people to what? Change of mind. That's what repentance is. Change of mind. What had happened to their minds? Debased. What had happened to their minds? They said, we don't acknowledge God in our minds. We don't acknowledge God in our minds. We don't want him in our thinking. They didn't want to acknowledge God. Is that right? They exchange, verse 25 of chapter 1, the truth of God for a lie. They didn't want God. Their minds were all distorted. Their thinking was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. And here's God moving. I believe the Twin Towers is just one of God's actions by which he's wanting to bring people to repentance. Does everybody know that in America the churches were very full the Sunday afterwards? Did you know that? That many people who never prayed began to pray. But it didn't last. Didn't last. But it was part of God's goodness. You say God's goodness was there? Well, of course it was God's goodness. There was a plane en route for the White House. It never got there. Another one to the Pentagon. Isn't that right? And it didn't hit head on where it was meant to. Am I right? It could have been worse. 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 There's his goodness. Restraining wickedness there. There, in that action, you have this mixture of things. God's goodness, his mercy, and the wickedness of man, and he, even through a thing like that, is seeking to lead people to repentance, where they think about him again, where they turn to him again, where they turn away from their idols again, where they see that world trade centers are not the answer, that the whole thing is a great vanity that will disappear just like that when God decrees. And for those who put their trust in these things, this is a seriousness. This is what the church's gospel is all about. It's about God being rejected by man and yet stooping over man with his mercies and his grace, seeking to bring man to a change of heart and mind so that man should begin, well, should know his son. Not begin to know his son, but see what he's done. Hallelujah. It's 9:30 and I should stop. But hallelujah, when we come to see the glory of God, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine. Do you want the glory of God in your life? Do you want to be a person sharing in those qualities of his nature? His goodness. His righteousness. Hallelujah. Well, in the gospel, his righteousness is revealed. Hallelujah. You can be recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. We'll get to that tomorrow. Hallelujah. 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 We've got a God like this. Can you feel and sense him in the midst? Can you? Do you know that he's near unto you? Do you know that he's of this nature? And you know that he's the kind of God who's not going to sweep your sin under the carpet, but he's going to kill it to death in Jesus Christ. That you've got a God who's faithful to what he made man to be. The gifts. Let's go through them again. The gifts. The righteousness. The goodness. The mercy, the kindness, all these gifts of being that belong to man are without repentance. God hasn't changed his mind, they're irrevocable. And the calling unto dominion, unto fruitfulness, is without repentance. Glory. Oh, now, do you know what you've got to do? A sign of your repentance is that you'll believe him. Now believe him. Believe God. Believe what you've been told tonight. Believe God. She didn't. That woman, Eve, she didn't believe God. That's what turned her into a rebel. She disobeyed because she ceased believing. Those two things. She disobeyed because she ceased believing. Amen. And you come into obedience because you begin to believe him. Believe him. Hallelujah. That he is. I am that I am. Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray. Perhaps we'll take a few minutes and just be quiet. And hallelujah. You ask the Lord by his Spirit again to cement these things into your heart. Oh, the glory of the Lord, the glory of God for which you were made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do pray and lift up your voice to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift up our voices, Lord. We talk to You. We thank You for who You are. Oh Lord, and the wonderful destiny of man. This calling from which You have not moved. These gifts that belong rightly to us as human beings. How wonderful is the restoration, the redemption in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we've fallen from, Lord. What You have lifted us back to. Oh, Lord. We talk to You. We talk to You about it. We say, be it unto us according to Your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're wonderful, Lord. Faithful God. Blessedly true. We thank You, Lord. Oh, we thank You. Hallelujah. Ekabielunis amsiku etzen valas. Ibiragone la Jesu emaran siku ensesh. Dearest Lord, we adore You. We thank You. Hallelujah. And Lord, we want to lift Your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank You for the works You've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in Your unveiling love. For You alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we get a right key for that? And great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Amen. The city of our God, the holy place. Amen. Tremendous. And Lord, we want to lift Your name on high. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place. The joy of the whole earth. Great in the Lord, we have the victory. He aids us against the enemy. We bow down.